Hey, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, December 12th, 2018. Actually, Dave is a little late today. He had an errand to run. He's going to be joining us at the break today. So we have Wendy Wilson joining me for the first segment of the program today. But first, let's go ahead and do the market report for December 12th, 2018. And gold today, with as much going on in the stock market at one point in time, over 400 points, we managed to still keep $2.40 on gold. So we're looking at gold $1,246, a high of $1,247. Silver today was up 18 cents at $14.82. Platinum was up $18 at $806. Palladium was up $16 at $1,269. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say one more time that if you're looking to add any precious metals to your portfolio, you already have gold, you already have silver. Platinum really is a buy. And we do have the 2019 American Eagle Platinum coins. Of course, they're not going to be delivered until the middle part of January because the Mint is not allowed to release by law coins prior to the current year. So they'll come out, but if you want to get some locked in, add 5, 10, 15, 20 of them to your portfolio. It's a great way to diversify. And we all know platinum usually sells more for gold. Gold's at 1246. Platinum is 806. Buy low, sell high. It's pretty easy, ladies and gentlemen. Give us a call, 800-375-4188. The USDX today is down 0.49 at 96.98. Crude oil was down 52 cents at 51.13. And let's see what the final numbers were. Boy, what a reversal. The Dow was up over 400 points, finished up at 157. So a big reversal there, 24,527. The NASDAQ was up 66 points at 7,098. The S&P was up 14 at 26.51. 10-year yield up almost 1% at 2.91. Let's see. Asian and European markets were all up strong. So interesting day in the markets for just on the hopes that there is going to be some sort of a U.S.-China trade pact to eliminate some of these tariffs. But we'll talk about that after the break because we have Wendy Wilson joining us today, in which it's always a pleasure and honor to have her join us. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Oh, thanks, Melanie. That was such a sweet intro. Always a pleasure to be with you as well. I thought today we would talk about a rare virus, which is becoming less rare, actually. And people say, well, what's a rare virus? Well, the common diagnosis of a virus has come to mean medicine really doesn't know what disease you have. Therefore, when medicine declares a patient has a rare virus, what exactly could they mean by that? Well, it could suggest it's a viral condition they do not frequently encounter based on severe symptoms. So in a lot of cases, it could mean the virus has created a serious condition known as Guillain-Barré syndrome. And we're seeing more Guillain-Barré while hospital workers are also. So we're going to kind of touch base and see what's the culprit here and kind of shed some light on it and protect ourselves and reduce our risk. So according to Medical Science Melody, the several viruses that can kind of kick off or they're linked to causing Guillain-Barré syndrome. And I don't know if you know what Guillain-Barré syndrome, it's a neurological malfunction.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, people tend to have paralysis and can't breathe and have to be hooked up to breathing machines, things like that. Very serious. So some of the viruses they have connected to causing Guillain-Barré are influenza, the Zika virus, HIV, Epstein-Barr viruses, also the viruses from the herpes family called cytoglomoviruses. Also your hepatitis A, B, C, and E, as well as pneumonia bacterias. Some surgeries can invite the infection risk of getting Guillain-Barré because there's lots of viruses and bacteria in hospitals. Also Hodgkin's lymphoma, also lymphatic cancer, and we're going to touch base on that in just a minute. Also, your childhood vaccines like your whooping cough, pertussis, your measles, mumps, rubella, and your HPV Gardasil. And they also, yep, and they also say foodborne bacteria in poultry are known to be causing it. And guess what's in your flu vaccines? The H1N1, H3N2 bird viruses are in your flu shots to begin with, along with your influenza viruses. Let me read you this quote. This is from Dr. Conrad Kale. He's with the PreventDisease.com website. He said this in June 2012. He said, vaccines or viruses clog your lymphatic system and your lymph nodes with these large protein molecules, which have not been adequately broken down by your digestive process, since the vaccines bypass your digestion with an injection directly into your bloodstream, also known as an artificial infection. He says, this is why vaccines are linked to a lot of allergies, because they contain these large proteins, which become circulating immune complexes or clinkers, causing your body to become allergic and react in a malfunctioning way. Now, I want you to keep that in mind as we go through the process of determining what could be causing Guillain-Barré syndrome. So what does your lymphatic system actually do? What's the purpose of it? Well, medical treatments such as viral vaccines can actually damage the lymphatic system. In effect, it prevents it from detoxing your body, because it's designed to remove infections and waste material. So your lymphatic system is very complex. It's sort of like a drainage system. It includes all your glands, like your thymus gland, lymph nodes, spleen, tonsils, and adenoids. So when the system gets kind of plugged up, it's almost like your toilet gets clogged. So the lymphatic system is also a cleanse for your blood, your cells, removes all those excess fluids the body doesn't need, and all the waste material that eventually exit the body through the kidneys and bowel system. So if the glands are clogged with a lot of vaccine proteins and bacteria and viruses, the system is really stymied. It won't detox appropriately. Now, if you have an unhealthy lymphatic system, it often produces some diseases like skin conditions, arthritis, chronic fatigue syndrome, digestive disorders, enlarged glands, and some other things. Well, let's get back to that close association. What medical science says, the condition of Guillain-Barré syndrome is sometimes linked to bacterial infections called Campylobacter jejuni, and this bacteria is often associated with diarrhea because it's linked to foodborne illnesses. So what is a bacterial infection doing causing Guillain-Barré syndrome that is often triggered by a virus? And medicine then blames the cause on an autoimmune dysfunction on the patient. These are all good questions we hope to answer in the time we have with you today. Well, some of the symptoms of Guillain-Barré you may be aware of is weakness, tingling in the extremities, paralysis, respiratory arrest, sometimes vision loss of speech, pain, inability to swallow, loss of bladder and bowel control, rapid heartbeat, blood clots, heart attack, blood pressure problems, coma, and death is possible. So medicine states that the exact cause is uncertain. They don't know what causes Guillain-Barré syndrome, but they said it sometimes follows a respiratory or a digestive infection. So medicine is quick to say it's rare to contract it from an immunization or a vaccine, but I'm going to show you that's exactly where it comes from.
Okay? Is there an age?
Yep. So good of you to ask. I'm getting right to that. You have just,
It's old people and babies, right?
Well, the CDC is telling us in the United States, 3,000 to 6,000 people a year contract Guillain-Barré. That's one in three people in 100,000. So according to medical science, anyone can contract Guillain-Barré. However, they see the condition occur more frequently in adult males, young adults, and people over 50. So patients that suffer from Guillain-Barré can expect a 60 to 80% recovery in function. Therefore, the condition offers a high rate of disability. Now, medical science also states that they believe the virus reacts to a pre-existing condition. And nearly everyone has been vaccinated with lots of viruses and bacterias, haven't they?
Absolutely.
So saying that the patient must have had a pre-existing condition to bring on the virus attack, to me, is pretty astonishing. Well, let's look. This year, your flu shot, real quickly, has four to six viral strains in them. Four means quadvirulent, And so you get 2A and 2A B strain types of viruses. And so the combining of these elements, what they do is they combine these viral lineages with hydrogen atoms and electrons. So what they do is they combine these elements and they alter them when they do that. And they alter also the way the disease enters your body and your cells. So science is actually creating new infectious pathogens. So this year, you've got the Michigan influenza A along with two bird flu strains. You have the Singapore flu, the Colorado, and the Victoria Australia strain, as well as the Japanese, two Japanese strains of B viral strains mixed in. So you've got six pathogens going here. And Zepho Matrix Corporation actually provides a lot of these additional influenza strains. A lot of them are live viruses called culture fluids. And you may say, well, what's a culture fluid? Well, you have to realize that science is reassigning pathogen genomes or genetically reassigning segments of these pathogens and creating different strains or lineages of these viruses. And the WHO, or the World Health Organization, is pushing for these new disease combinations. And these are not diseases that naturally occurred, and most likely no one has resistance to them. These are strains. This is not something that God has unleashed on the world. This is man unleashing this. One strain, which is called the Phuket flu strain, is the combination of the Japanese and the Australian flu. Very, very risky for children, okay? So what you get a lot of times when you get a lot of viral strains that are harbored into the system, and then you have a bacterial strain coming along, you can kick off a Guillain-Barré response. And make no mistakes, the vaccines are tampering with your immune system, and in many instances, they are destroying its ability to function normally. So vaccines make the immune system hypersensitive, allergic, and also can confuse the target antibodies through a chemical protein, and then the immune system attacks you, your nervous system, causing your Guillain-Barré syndrome. Now, in some instances, depending on the type of vaccine they're using and the viruses and the proteins in them, the destructive response can be almost immediate, or it can take many years to manifest, and this produces that veil of plausible deniability for the drug companies. So, and since medical doctors lack a lot of training with regard to how, you know, the immune system vaccines work, and they're just denying the side effects, and this is how people are becoming, I believe, victimized by medicine. And creating a malfunctioning immune system and causing a lot of health problems.
You know, I think that's what it's like, if they want to provide these vaccines and so forth, let the people know. Any medication that a person buys, you get 8 sheets of, you know, things that can affect you in one way or another, and it's really up to that person to decide whether they want to do it or not. But they don't do that with the vaccines. It's
yeah,
just
that's
like, here
it's
it is. Take it. We're telling you to do it, so do it.
Yeah, it's becoming a strong mandate. I mean, you're seeing the flu vaccine being a mandated vaccine. They're wiggling it in through, people that work in the health professional field, and then of course your school system. So eventually, it'll be part of all business wellness programs, which they'll get a subsidy from the state. You know, it's like turning up the temperature in increments. Yeah.
You will not be admitted to a hospital unless you have the flu shot. You won't get care. You won't be treated.
Well, yeah, you won't have benefits without it. No.
Nope.
Well, let me just shed some light. The birth of this new disease, Guillain-Barré, because it would appear this Guillain-Barré syndrome made its debut when vaccines were invented in the early 1900s. So in 1920, it was described as a polyneuropathy disease, but then that diagnostic name changed in 1980, and then they decided to call the disease demyelinating disease, which destroys your myelin sheath. It's a protective cover on your nerves, especially in your spinal cord. This is where the paralysis comes in, and people can't breathe because the signal from the brain to the lungs, it's damaged. So Guillain-Barré is a condition really hospital staff see more frequently in patients with all these vaccines being, especially the flu shots. And it's part why they don't want flu shots, because they see people come in and they're paralyzed, okay? And they know the promoted statistics are saying it's highly unlikely you're going to contract Guillain-Barré from the flu shot and, you know, ruin your career, but it's a risk they prefer not to take, really. So medical professionals will honestly tell you they don't believe the flu shots work as they are promoted, okay? And this is why I get more calls every year from health professionals trying to find a way around the flu shot. So now earlier, let's recap. Earlier I asked how medical science is blaming the condition of Guillain-Barré syndrome on patients who have an autoimmune dysfunction. We also asked how is this rare virus linked to bacterial infection called Campylobacter jejuni associated with diarrhea and foodborne illnesses. Well, it would appear that Guillain-Barré is a man-made disease born out of mixing viral and bacterial proteins in your vaccine serums. The adjuvants in your vaccines tend to hyperstimulate the immune system, and they're made from food proteins, which are most likely harboring the bacteria. The adjuvants also shock the immune system, and it can become confused and then attack the body's nervous system. So there is also scientific fact that it's impossible to make 100% sterile, contaminant-free, or bacteria-free serum. These contaminants go directly into the blood system, bypassing your normal immune system safeguards, which alert your immune system to make antibodies in your defense. So vaccines actually dismantle your immune system and plant the disease inside you.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. So, it's really a disgrace. I mean, it's like saying, you know, God made an immune system that doesn't function. We're going to improve on it, and what they're doing is the opposite. So vaccines don't build immunity. Exposure to disease, like getting the common cold and taking some vitamin C and some natural things to help your immune system fight it, that's how you build immunity. And that's how you create antibodies, and that's how your body can take those antibodies and adapt them for future infections. So if you want to avoid the flu and other risks associated with vaccines, you might want to avoid vaccines, eliminate your sugar this time of year because it lowers the immune system, and use your immune support herbs. So your echinacea, astragalus root, garlic. And, well, of course, we have a full line of immune-boosting formulas. We also have that two-product solution to reversing a vaccine if you're having to get them. So we have that as well. You can call and ask for more information on that. So if you got glands that are all stressed out, we have herbs for that too. So excellent Three Amigos pack.
Oh,
35.
Wendy.
Yes.
Give us your number.
866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. 35% off through this month. So take care and be well.
Alrighty, thank you, Wendy. I'll be back in just a few minutes, right after the few short break.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. And let's see, there's a whole bunch of things to talk about. We're going to start out. Do you want to do Theresa May, or we want to go, or are we going to wait on that, Dave?
Well, you know, we could always talk about her now. I mean, it's breaking news.
It just
came out recently. Yeah, I mean, UK Prime Minister Theresa May has won a crucial vote of confidence in her leadership on Wednesday evening in the UK. I believe they're, 5 hours ahead of us. May won the leadership challenge by, in my mind, a surprising margin, 200 to 117. That was a secret ballot, I believe. Not surprisingly, the pound rose about 1% on that news. She needed to win a simple majority, which was, 159 out of 315 conservative members of parliament of that party to win the confidence vote. It means that her leadership can't be challenged now for another year, which is significant in terms of the timing of the Brexit agreement. With scheduled deadline is March 29th.
And she's not going to seek re-election. That's
big too.
I'm missing something here.
But
if she kept her seat with such a big spread, then why can't she get Brexit done? I mean, those who are voting for her to stay in power are the same ones.
That's a good question. You know, I unfortunately don't know the inside information on, conservative party politics over there. It is interesting because, as we know, leading up to the vote, a majority, or not a majority, but enough of her fellow conservative MPs, as they're called, members of parliament, did not support her Brexit agreement. Many believe that this is, a big surprise, her vote of confidence, given that so many of her own party, reportedly decided or at least have announced that they've opposed the exit from the EU.
Or I have an idea. Maybe they wanted to keep her in power because she can't manage to do the Brexit, thinking that, maybe they'll force a new referendum on the Brexit. So maybe it's a little...
It's a very insightful thought.
Because I really thought she was going to be history.
Yeah, it was really surprising that she won at all, much less by this margin. Now, maybe there were some last-minute
handshakes,
deals that, she agreed. I mean, this is all speculation. I'm even reluctant to throw it out there. She's agreed to, go back to the bargaining table about this Northern Irish backstop, as it's called, the big issue that, has split the parliament over the agreement. If what we do know is if, and it's a long, it's sort of a longer story that we don't have time for here, but, if there isn't, an agreement, although theoretically the transition period could be extended past March 29th, then this backstop will kick in. And that ensures there's no hard border between, Ireland and Northern Ireland, the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. And that's, Northern Ireland remains, largely loyal to the EU. And, that's a difficult prospect for many politicians in the UK. So interesting, the UK's parliamentary vote on the Brexit agreement has been delayed. So, we'll probably hear more, I would guess, in the coming days or week, if there has been any deals made in exchange for votes of confidence. But for now, I don't know.
Yeah, and you also have to think of how much impact France, the rest of the EU that is having so many issues, Italy and, so forth, on and on and on.
Oh, sure.
That, how this all plays into that vote and everything else. So luckily the UK never used the euro. They still use the pound. And we'll watch that and see how that affects the United States, whether it goes through, whether it doesn't. Certainly there will be some global impact, I'm sure, once it gets completed. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, the devil's in the details.
Yeah.
Once we know what they are, it's usually not very beneficial for people of the countries. But today there was an interesting number. We had inflation notch up a little bit in November. Consumer prices notched up a little, held back by the sharp decline in the price of gasoline. But underlying inflation remains firm, and we've seen costs in rents and health care both rise significantly. And the Labor Department said this morning that last month's flat reading in its consumer price index, the CPI, followed a 0.3% increase in October, and of course it was the weakest reading in 8 months. And we've been seeing a 12 months through November, the CPI rose 2.2%. So excluding the volatile food and energy components, the CPI increased 0.2%.
Yeah, while the core prices remain firm, I mean, the inflation outlook is now being seen as benign. That comes amid falling oil prices and signs of slowing economic growth, both here in the U.S. As well as overseas. A report yesterday showed producer prices edging up a slight 0.1% in November after accelerating 0.6 of a point in October. Now, we know the Fed's preferred inflation measure is the core PCE price index. That excludes, again, food and energy, inexplicably in our minds. That increased 1.8% year-on-year in October, and that's the smallest gain since February, after rising 1.9% on an annualized basis the prior month. Now, the rate has hit the Fed's 2% target, as far back as March, first, that was the first since April of 2012. Despite this incredible volatility in markets, the Fed is expected to raise interest rates for the fourth time this year, next Wednesday, although confidence is down from a high of over 80% just a few weeks ago. A couple of Fed officials, one a voting member, said as recently as yesterday, I believe, that maybe it's time for the Fed to step back. Whether that means in December or afterwards, we'll see. We have a little more commentary on that in the next segment, Melody. In terms of
I'll keep my thoughts until then.
Oh, hey, whatever your pleasure. There's no better time than now.
Yeah, because when you get a certain age, you kind of remember to, anyway, no, no, ladies and gentlemen, my memory is intact. It's just a little joke there. But one thing that we did see, gasoline prices tumbled 4.2%. We also saw food prices rise 0.2%, and healthcare costs, they jumped 0.4% last month. So again, these are strong increases, and certainly passes us past the little 2% Fed target that they always talk about, which is just a joke, you know, but people believe it. People, that's how they, you know, it's called confidence, ladies and gentlemen. They get you, you know, they get everybody's confidence strong and high, and they'll go out and spend. That's what it's all about. It's all about getting your money. It's all about getting you to the store, getting you online, getting you to spend. And they don't want you to save. No. They don't want you to save. The only savings they want you to have is, of course, with your pension plan, so you can give them money on a monthly basis, and it can go into the stock market. So when we have the crashes that we always have, you'll get back to about even. Maybe you'll even make a few more bucks, and then they'll just take it back away from you, you know? It's just, oh my gosh, it's just that same thing over and over, the same plan, the same, it doesn't change. History, you know, repeats itself.
It's almost like, I mean, I hope people won't consider this blasphemous, but, you know, it's almost like the Fed has a God complex. You know, as we know, what the Lord gives, the Lord taketh away. So be it with the Fed.
And it's just, you know, and it's not going to change, ladies and gentlemen. How, you know, as much as I want it to change, as much as I would love to see these things with the tariffs and all, you know, as much as I want it to be better, I know monetarily it's not going to. And there isn't any reason to believe that the citizens of a country are going to fare better when we get to certain points. When we get, and we're going to talk, I saw a new number, $22 trillion for the debt. $22
trillion. Say it ain't so.
Well, and that's going to be low. You know, we're going to be looking at $22 trillion and say, well, gee, you know, I wish we were back at that number. But anyway, let's talk about mortgage apps. They were up last week, and that was due to, because we had the sharp drop in the interest rates. So it did drive the mortgage application volume up 1.6% last week from the previous week. But volume was still 16% lower than a year ago. Dave, that still is a big drop. And, you know, trade fears dominated investors' concern for another week. And this was amplified by data that was released by the U.S. Commerce Department that actually showed a widening trade deficit.
Yeah, it looks like mortgage apps to purchase a home drove much of this volume. That rose 3% for the week and 4% from a year ago. Buyers, you know, no surprise, are usually scarce in December. You know, that's when the supply of homes for sale is, you know, leaner, and the idea of moving in winter isn't particularly appealing in much of the nation. But this year, you know, may be an outlier because more supply is coming on the market, and buyers who were priced out last spring, you know, amidst all that heavy competition, are now seeing an opportunity with, you know, this interest rate drop. Mortgage apps to refinance a home increased 2% last week as well, but were still 34% lower than a year ago when interest rates were 72 basis points lower than they are today.
Wow. And you know what? And that's why you have the president screaming at Powell not to raise rates. You have Wall Street screaming, don't raise rates, you know, and so forth. Because it does have a major impact. We're at that point. And I also think that's why the markets drop. And, you know, it's part of it, not the only reason, but part of it. Because look what it did to the 10-year. Look what it did to that rate, and look what we saw. We saw interest rates for homes, mortgage rates drop along with that 10-year. So that's important, ladies and gentlemen, and that's how they manipulate these markets.
Yeah.
And so and
the 10-year is down at 2.9%.
It was lower than that.
Yeah, it was in the 2.8s.
Yeah.
And you know, that's you know, that's just happened within the past month.
And look at what our mortgage applications did. They increased. Refinancing increased. Money's being taken out of these homes for the refinances, you know, if there's any equity there. What do people do with it? They're not going to save it. They're going to spend it.
Yeah, November 7th. Yeah. Gosh, just a little over a month ago, 3.2%, 3.25%, and it was just about the, you know, the same highs a month before that in early October.
Yeah.
So this, it happens quickly.
Absolutely.
Especially when you're not looking.
Yeah. So, you know, manipulation, ladies and gentlemen, then not only did they manipulate the gold market, but they also manipulate the interest rates. And so it will be interesting to see what Powell does next week. I'm not so sure what he's going to do. I mean, I think there was, an 89% chance or something like that he was going to raise rates. But I don't know, Dave.
I don't either.
So we'll have to see if there's any news that comes out with the China and the trade war, because China reportedly planned to give foreign companies greater access to its economy. Excuse me. And is drafting a replacement of its plan to dominate advanced technologies by 2025. And of course, Beijing's change would come in response to pressure from President Trump. And the tariffs are aimed at balancing trade and giving, of course, American firms increased access to the world's second largest economy. We saw stocks rally globally on the perceived improved outlook for this trade war between China and the U.S. And the S&P index and the Dow Jones both rose more than 1% as these markets opened, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, U.S. Trade Rep Robert Lighthizer has been tasked by Trump with negotiating a deal focused on technology issues by March 1st. Chinese President Xi Jinping, his government has taken steps this week to soothe Trump and the U.S., including a plan to cut tariffs on U.S. cars to 15% from 40%. China also reportedly intends to resume purchases of soybeans from the U.S. That's according to Chinese officials. Officials also said last week it would deepen reforms in the area of science and technology and put more effort into protecting intellectual property rights. And we'll see how that in particular manifests itself, because that's been really the primary one of the primary drivers in how our side has been positioning itself on this trade war.
Well, you know, they launched that plan in 2015 with the goal of becoming an advanced manufacturer leader within a decade. And, you know, this initiative is aimed to develop local expertise in research and development. But, you know, do you really believe
China 2025?
Yeah. Do you think they're really going to back off their goal of becoming an advanced manufacturing leader?
No.
I don't think so, ladies and gentlemen. What country would do that? America. We did that with the trade agreements. Anyway, we'll be right back, ladies. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Government employees. Anyway, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And let's go ahead and get right into the, we were talking about China, we were talking about not following through, and the global financial system is on the verge of destruction. Egon von Greyerts, he says, don't expect the global financial situation to get better any time. Well, he's agreeing with us, Dave.
Indeed.
He was interviewed with by Greg Hunter, and he says, you know what the politicians are doing now. He says, Theresa May is his best example. They're just running around, posing and acting, but they're not achieving anything. And they are not achieving anything because the world is in a mess. That's pretty much what I said yesterday. I think that meeting between Trump and Schumer, it's just like, it's really bizarre to me, Dave. It is like they're just out there acting, not doing anything, because the big problem, the elephant in the room, can't be discussed. And, you know, he talks about in this interview about the beginning of its of the decline of the Western world economy, and which means a whole world economy, and it does. So, you know, he's right on. The trend is clear. We know that the world economy is in a mess. It's going to decline. And he said that it's going to be a rapid decline. And yes, we all know this. This is what we've been saying for 20 years, 20 plus years. Gold is going to reflect all of this. Your currencies will be totally debased. This is what happens when you have a world full of fiat currencies.
Yeah, this interview is interesting. I mean, Greyerts continues by saying to Greg, you know, you don't need a lot. You might only need another few snowflakes to trigger this avalanche. You know, it could come in a month or in 3 months' time because the system is fake.
Yep.
You know, he said he counts two, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, two quadrillion in money. If you add debt, unfunded liabilities, and the risk of derivatives, yep, you come out with 2 quadrillion of debt and liabilities. Global GDP is 70 trillion. So you're talking about 30 times global GDP. That's you know, that could be next to the definition of insane. Greg asks, so what could go wrong? Greyerts says, well, you don't need much to go wrong. We've been saying that. It'll happen. You know, that world governments don't have a remedy anymore. You know, the last couple, well, we'll say, you know, the last financial crisis, 2007, 2009, that was a rehearsal. Greyerts says the real thing is coming now, and no money printing will ever stop it. They will try, but they will fail. You know, all values will shrink to very low numbers. All assets and debts will shrink together. You know, that's the longer term play, and it's not going to be nice for the world. It's actually going to be horrible.
Yeah, wealth is going to disappear. People, a lot of people are going to suffer. There's going to be famine. There's going to be misery. You know, and he does go on and say the world has gone through this before, but this has been bigger than ever before. So, yeah, the world's going to survive. You know, I don't believe we're going to enter it. In my personal opinion, we're not going to enter into Mad Max days, of course. But a lot of people are going to suffer when this implodes. And you're going to have a rush into gold and silver. And it isn't going to happen until you guys get hit in the head with a 2x4. Literally hit. We see the 2x4s going by, but no one's been hit yet. There's no panic. There's no one, you know, they're just sitting back listening to their financial planners. Those who are smart, they are increasing their positions, so in gold and silver. So, you know, it is now is the time to do it, ladies and gentlemen. And so it was a good interview with Greg Hunter. And when we're at the end of the month, Greg Hunter comes on the program. We'll ask him about this interview. So we're going to touch on briefly about yesterday's a fight between the president and the congressional Democrats over the wall, the demand for the wall, and a possible government shutdown. Congress and Trump previously approved funding for 3/4 of the $1.2 trillion in operating expenses for federal agencies, but funding is only good until December 21st. And so if there is a government shutdown, of course, we know that there's only some agencies that would be affected, and the essential employees are still going to report to work. And but, you know, for the agencies that would face a partial shutdown would be Homeland Security and, of course, the national parks. Usually they close the national parks.
Yeah, it varies. I was surprised to see that. Because, as you said, normally, I mean, the folks at who take the money at the entrances are, you know, considered that in passing anyway, had been considered non-essential, perhaps because of the wildfires, various parts of the U.S. Maybe that's part of the decision making.
It's winter.
Yeah, but you know, 400,000 federal employees would. Reportedly work without pay. 350,000 would be furloughed, which means temporarily laid off. The essential employees who do work during a shutdown are paid retroactively when, you know, the government reopens and payroll operations resume. After previous shutdowns, and there haven't been any exceptions to this, Congress has included in the that legislation to retroactively pay those furloughed workers. As we know, our president has been threatening a shutdown for months over his demand to fully fund his wall on the U.S.-Mexico border that he's been seeking since the 2016 campaign. He wants far more money than the Dems and even a few Republicans have been willing to give him. As Melody said at the outset, Trump met yesterday at the White House with House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi, the presumed new Speaker in January, and Chuck Schumer, who's the Senate Minority Leader, and said during their very animated discussion, "I will be the one to shut it down," you know, if he doesn't get the funding for border security. And he said, "I'm proud to shut down the government for border security," Chuck, you know, talking to Senator Schumer, Melody.
It's going to be an interesting week next week. There's a lot of things going on. So make sure, I think it's a great time to be buying your gold and silver, ladies and gentlemen. You have Bank of America out there saying that gold is going to hit 1400 in 2019. Well, I think we're going to be much higher than 1400 by the end of 2019. But,
and listen, just real briefly before we end here, if you're looking to get out of the country soon, you don't have a passport, I'd get it now. Even though they say that passports will continue to be issued in the event of a shutdown, don't be so sure that there won't be a disruption. Get in there this week if you have a chance. Sorry, Melody.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. Well, mine's due to renew next year, so.
Me too.
Annie, let's see. Let's go into Brevity is Golden. You know, it's time for our weekly segment, Brevity is Golden. Now, what do you have cooking for us today?
Melody,
yes.
Whole Foods Market.
Well, they have good food there, don't they? Healthy food?
Well, that's what we hear. However, it appears there's an exception. You know, they've been hailed for, you know, their high standards for healthy food, but it ranked worst in a study of five major grocery U.S. grocery chains for chemicals it uses in packaging at its popular hot food bar. You know, in response, the company said it's removed all the coated paper products in question and has started a search for new biodegradable packaging. Now, this study, you know, released by groups like called Safer Chemicals, Healthy Families, and Toxic Free Future, found that Amazon.com's grocer of choice was the biggest defender when it came to food contact papers that appeared to have been treated with a class of chemicals, some of which have been linked to cancer. For example, they found high levels of fluorine in five of the 17 items tested at Whole Foods, four of which for containers for its salad and hot food bar. You know, the development highlights, you know, how chemicals known as PFAS, which stands for polyfluoroalkyl substances, they're drawing a greater attention from consumers. And those substances are also the target of renewed scrutiny from the EPA. Now, the policy change shows how companies like Whole Foods, which has built its brand on selling natural and healthy products and who maintain a list of unacceptable items, can still struggle to live up to their lofty ideals across multiple supply chains. Now, you know, the concern, you know, with these chemicals are, you know, obvious. You know, they migrate to food held in the containers and can linger for a lengthy period in the human body. Some of them have been shown to hamper the immune system or to promote cancer, and many of them have been phased out. So we'll see what happens here. You know, we know that they're looking to a new packaging source, and you know, the study that reported this, Melody, is intended to push all grocery stores to safer alternatives. A similar study last year found that fast food chains also use the chemicals. And that, Melody, is this week's Brevity is Golden.
You know, it's interesting. You wonder when, I can't recall how long Amazon has owned them, but I wonder if he put that product in there, you know, because he's always trying to save a dime. And so that's kind of, you know, does it mean anything? No, I'm glad that they're fixing the problem. But there was also an article today about McDonald's, that they're no longer, or they're looking to upgrade their beef to, you know, they're not going to...
What, E. coli free beef?
Yes.
Go for it, Mickey.
Hey! But they're going to buy beef that doesn't have antibiotics, I guess, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good news.
I mean, well, that is good news.
A little late.
Now, that was my point. It's a little late for everything, you know. We already have this problem now of, you know, I saw a headline today where obesity rate hit an all-time high. So it's... the nation's obesity rate has reached the highest ever level this year. And that's according to the United Health Foundation of 2018. So it's good to see, you know, some changes in some of the food processing, you know, that people eat.
Yeah.
Don't know if it makes any difference, but I'm sure every little bit does help.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and let's talk to Bank of America. Yeah. You know, I mentioned that, you know, these banks, these elite banks are being bullish in 2019 for gold. The latest research from analysts at the Bank of America and Merrill Lynch actually is overweighted in the precious metals. They had a teleconference presentation last week, and the metals strategist at the bank said the weaker U.S. dollar, rising inflation, and low real estate rates is going to drive prices higher next year. And so he's looking to it rising at a high of 1,400. And again, as I mentioned, it's going to go much higher than 1,400 by the end of next year. I considering what's happening at the end of this year, I can't imagine where the gold prices will be next year. The bank's average price represents a gain of nearly 4% from current prices, and 1,400 would be an increase of 12%.
Yeah, you know, in his presentation, the Bank of America guy noted that this past year, you know, the three factors that Melody just talked about, and plus, you know, positive U.S. economic growth and a strong U.S. dollar generally, you know, together with rising interest rates drove gold prices lower. You know, however, Bank of America says, you know, looking to 2019, we're moving into an environment that's going to be very supportive for gold. You know, along with the turning tide in interest rates and dollar strength, the bank sees growing financial volatility driving gold prices up in 2019. You know, the bank sees higher volatility throughout the year as global liquidity continues to tighten. The bank believes the spike in the VIX, the volatility index, is already setting the stage for that reversal, while you know, U.S. trade and government budget deficits could come into greater focus as the new year, as we get into that, Melody.
And you know, the bank talks about a weaker Chinese growth as a positive factor for gold. I mean, we talked about Chinese earlier. We talked about these trade the tariffs. You know, I saw one headline where President Trump says China's buying all kinds of soybean. And yet the traders are saying, nope, they're not buying anything. They're not buying anything. Earlier this week, I had where the White House is delaying a second round of payments from a $12 billion aid package for farmers that were stung by a trade dispute. So now the farmers aren't even going to be helped by the White House. This was the Office of Management and Budget is holding up the approval of payments. Concern.
Well, leverage for something, or
due to concern over the cost of the program.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's no money there. You know, they can't keep printing, and only you can protect yourself by buying gold. Can't believe we're out of time, Dave. That was fast.
So fast it was.
So much more to cover. We'll be back, or I'll be back tomorrow. You'll be back on Friday. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, be safe. Good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.